Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to 1 Timothy 6, if you would, please. 1 Timothy 6. We'll begin there this morning. I want to talk to you this morning for a little bit here on fighting the good fight of faith. And a little bit about what that means, and maybe share some things with you that you hadn't thought about this. And I think it'll help people that are in the midst of a good fight of faith to stay the course. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and you've professed a good profession, or you've confessed a good confession before many witnesses. How many know we need to confess a good confession? Right. You know, instead of talking about all the negative and things, we got to talk about what the Bible says, amen? Confess a good confession. But I want you to notice that he said, fight the good fight of faith. Well, how many know if you're in a fight, that means there's somebody else involved. Right. You don't get in a fight with yourself. You know, my younger brother, when he was in high school, came home several days in a row with bruises and scrapes and stuff on him and on his face and so forth. And he'd gotten in a fight, and he did it, I don't know how many days in a row it happened with the same guy. And, you know, he had all these things on his face and talking about how he beat him up. The other guy beat him up. And I said, well, I hate to see him then. You got all that on you, you know, and all. But he says he won. So, but how many understand? If you're in a boxing match, you got an opponent.
That's right.
You know, if nobody else is there, it's not a fight.
That's right.
So I just want you to see something here this morning. I'm going to look at a few scriptures this morning instead of preach from one or two. We're going to look at maybe several. But I want you to see this morning. That you have to fight the fight of faith. And if you don't realize you're in a fight, you know, if you just think you can sit back and let, and I hope you understand the way I say this, if you think you can sit back and let God do everything, you're sorely mistaken, because He's already moved. He's already assured us the victory, but we still have to do some fighting. I mean, the battle's already won. How many know that? But we still got to, you know, like during the, after World War II, we had what they called occupying armies. And they went into the places that we had defeated, and they made sure that it stayed peaceful. I mean, you got to make sure things stay peaceful in your life. Christ Jesus has won us the victory, amen? He's made us more than conquerors, amen? He's given us the victory, amen? We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He always leads us into triumph, the Bible says. But we must understand that doesn't mean we're still not in a battle. We still don't have to fight. And sometimes things, and I think this is real important that people get this, that, you know, because I had to learn this, that sometimes things in your life, you got to fight the fight of faith to see things come to pass. That they don't just immediately change sometimes, and you can't quit and can't give up. You got to keep fighting. In the old days, you know, I've been watching boxing since I was a kid. You know, used to, it was on, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS. Now it's not on there very often. It's on the streaming stuff, which I don't have a lot of the streaming stuff. And also, I don't watch it much any longer. And like I said, Phyllis said, it's not going to be in heaven. And so, that's why I figured I better watch it now, you know. But I remember the days that they went 15 rounds. And one fight I remember in particular mentioned him a while ago, was when Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier fought for the heavyweight championship. It might have been their last fight. And that thing, it went to the 14th round. In the 15th round, Frazier couldn't come back out, and Ali was just about spent. And they had Ali sitting on a stool because he was so wiped out, because it was a fight. And they interviewed Ali, and he didn't have all the cockiness he normally had. He was just too tired. He just said, you know, you could die doing this. He still said, I'm still the greatest in the world. But Joe Frazier's next to the greatest in the world. You know, he still wasn't going to give an inch. How many knew how he was like? Man, it was so funny. But he was so tired. Why? Because he was in a fight. He said he was in a fight. And sometimes we're in a fight. But it's a good fight. And a good fight is a fight you win. But it's a fight of faith. But if you don't know this, you can give up. You can think God's let you down. Or God's not coming through. What's wrong with God? There's nothing wrong with God. God can't let you down. He's already gave you victory.
That's right.
Amen. You see, there's a lot of weird stuff in the church right now because people just don't understand some things. There's really, like, and maybe you don't know it. Maybe I shouldn't even say it because now you know it. So maybe I'll just leave it alone. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Maybe I better say something just in case you are hearing it. All right. But there's like a teaching going around now that, you know, hell isn't eternal. And that's starting to get, because that's not the nature of God. God's love and so forth. And see, I call that philosophy, philosophizing. You're deducing something because like one guy deduced that, you know, everybody's going to heaven because God is love. But see, God in his love got us out. You understand? That's what they don't understand is we were all going there. By virtue of Adam, the Bible said death came upon all men because of Adam. So he sunk the whole human race. Now you can kick him when you get to heaven if you want to, but God's forgiven him, all right? But he sunk the whole human race. God in his love got us out. And so they're deducing, it's philosophizing. You got to read the Bible. See, this is a legal, there's legalities to this thing. Jesus told the people of his day, he said, you're of your father, the devil. The Bible says we were by nature children of wrath. That was how we were born. So we were born, amen. Now, you understand little children are going to heaven because they're not at the age of accountability. But there comes a point when people know right and from wrong and they're accountable, okay? And so when that happens, then sin revives and you die. That's what Paul said, talking about spiritually. So the thing of it is there's legalities. God didn't create hell for people. He said he made it for the devil and his angels. But if he's your father and he's your Lord, that's where you're going to go. But that's why Christ came to get us out, to make a new creation, to get us out of the old Adam and put us in the new creation, right? And if you're still in the old Adam, the old creation, then you're going to go where that creation is going. And it's not, God doesn't have love. He loves you enough. He gave his own son to redeem you out of that. So that's the balance. That's the truth of that. And for those that are now preaching that, even some good people that love God, they're now preaching that. You couldn't be more wrong because Jesus said, hell is a place where the worm dieth not. There's eternal punishment. There's plenty of scriptures that prove it goes on forever. I'll just say this. This isn't my message, but I'm just saying it. As far as I can read by the Bible, let me say this first. You and I are spirit, soul, and body. As far as I can understand by studying the Bible, a spirit never ceases to exist once it's in created. It's just there. So let's don't fall for that, okay? Amen. Amen. See, a lot of people think some of the things we say we're not walking in love, but love tells you the truth. Love tells you the truth. And you can call me whatever name you want to call me, but when the day's done, I'm glad I told you the truth.
Amen.
And if I'm not in love, then God's word's not in love, and I wouldn't go that far to say that if I was you. Is that good preaching or not? Now, so anyway, let's go here to Peter. We're just talking about you have an opponent, you know. And we need to understand that. That's why sometimes we have to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be alert, be vigilant, because your adversary, look there, you got an adversary. You know what that word adversary means? It means an opponent. And it tells us who it is, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we have an opponent. And understand this, that you go to Ephesians 6:12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Amen? So it's not just Satan, but Satan has an array of demonic spirits that are arrayed against us. So we've got the devil against us and his evil spirits against us. The good news is we've got God for us, the Holy Spirit in us, and all the angels on our side. Who do you think is going to win? Of course we are. But you have to fight the good fight of faith to win. So he says, he's seeking, now notice this, he's seeking whom he may devour. That means he can't just devour everybody. He has to find somebody. Whom he may. How many know may is a permission word? May I have? That's a permission word. So he has to get permission. Well, that's God giving permission. No, God's done giving us victory. God's not giving permission. What we don't know is we do it and don't even know it. We give him permission and don't even realize we're giving it to him. Now, who is it that he devours? Well, the next verse tells us who he devours in verse number 9, whom resists steadfast in the faith. So those that don't resist steadfast in the faith, he'll devour them. So you got to what? Fight the fight of faith. You know, I've got the pastor acquaintance out on the West Coast that he's a man of faith. But he had to fight the fight of faith to keep himself in the race. Cancer attacked his body, and he had to fight for months. I don't know, maybe a couple years or whatever it was, to just keep himself in the race. But he fought the fight of faith. Now he went to the doctor. He had surgery. He had things like that. But the doctors could only do so much. He had to use his faith.
That's right.
Amen. He had to fight the fight of faith, and he's a faith man. And, you know, he shouldn't be here today, but in the natural, he shouldn't be here today. But this morning, you know, it's a little later. They sleep in over there, you know, on the West Coast. So it's only like whatever, 2 hours behind us. So, but in a little bit, he's going to be in his church preaching because he fought the fight of faith.
Amen.
Instead of being in the cemetery, y'all hear me? He's going to be in the pulpit today. But if he hadn't fought the fight of faith, he'd be in the cemetery this morning. His body. My wife's helped me preach this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, I need some help sometime. Her and the Holy Ghost. His body. Well, you know, that is part of you. You know. But you understand, see, there, and we have people in this church. There's some people in this church. I could name them, I won't, but they wouldn't be here today if they hadn't fought the fight of faith. I had one lady in our church, God bless her, she's not here this morning, I love her dearly, and I really respect her and honor her because she's had to fight some physical battles, and she kind of said something one time about, you know, she felt bad that she's still having to go through this. I said, look, hey, I think highly of you because you're still fighting.
That's right.
Most people would have quit.
That's right.
Well, you're still fighting the fight of faith.
Amen.
Man, I really, to me, you're an example.
Yeah.
The fight of faith.
Amen.
You know. It, you know, everybody can sing and shout when money's in the bank.
Come on down.
And like Brother Hagin told the Raymond students one time, he said, some of you think you're living by faith. He said, you're no more living by faith than I'm an astronaut.
Right.
Your parents were wealthy and they gave you everything. You're eating driving Cadillacs and eating T-bone steaks and say, I'm living by faith.
Come on.
And you didn't earn any of it. You didn't believe for any of it. It was just given to you. And he said, you're no more living by faith than I'm an astronaut. He said, now you'll get there. You know, you'll get there. But he said, you don't start out there. You got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? And so sometimes we have things come on our body. Sometimes we have afflictions or things come on our body. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Or we have situations, maybe financial situations. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Or things, different things. It could be a lot of things in life that we have to fight the good fight of faith. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I teach on storms. Sometimes we have storms that were our making. And what do? We repent, right? We consecrate, get back in the will of God, right? We don't. Jonah, right? You know who caused Jonah's problems? Jonah caused Jonah's problems. He did learn, didn't he? But you know, I'd rather go to a different university than being in the belly of a whale. I'd really get my degree some other way. Now, have I ever gotten degrees that way? Yeah, I've gotten them that way. I've got scars to prove it in the spirit. It's like, that was dumb. That's why when I warn people sometimes and say, don't do that. The only reason I'm saying that is because I've already done it. I mean, that's why your parents tell you not to do things. Why? They already did it. Amen. And it's amazing as you get older how people that were, you thought were stupid years ago are real smart now. I mean, I thought my parents were just the dumbest people on the planet. Now I'm like, hey, they're pretty smart. I thought grandma, she always wore those clothes that didn't match. And I thought, well, didn't she know? You know what I found out? When you get old, you don't care any longer. You just want comfort. Was the old Red Green, remember that Red Green show? One of the things he said, and if you don't know who he is, he was a guy that had a show on. He's a funny guy. He said, you've reached middle age when comfort means more to you than style. Yeah. Don't take that too far. You could still, but grandma would wear things, and I think, why'd she wear that? Well, it was just comfortable. That's what worked. Amen. So we have an opponent. And if we don't, now see what the Bible said there, verse 8, it was verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. See, he devours those that don't resist him. Those that don't fight the good fight of faith, he'll take you out. You're going to have to fight him. I said, you're going to have to fight him. So I didn't come here to hear that this morning. Well, you need to know it. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So everybody else is going to have to do it too. You're not alone. So get your lip off the carpet. Get yourself to church. And realize that everybody around you has battles. You're not the only one. Yeah, we're going to have compassion on you. We're going to help you. We're going to pray for you. But you're not the only one. But notice verse 10. This verse, I think, is misunderstood a lot of times. But the God of all grace, who have called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, Pastor, Bible says we're going to suffer. Well, let me tell you, leave it. People talk about, well, God wants you suffering this sickness. He wants you suffering this disease. That's not what we're called to suffer. But what he's talking about here, he said, your brethren in the world, they're having to fight the good fight of faith just like you do. And how many know fighting is suffering? It's not fun. I mean, especially after it goes a while. If you go out there and if you're Mike Tyson and you win in 32 seconds, it's not a big deal. But if you have to fight and fight the good fight of faith, how many, that's suffering. That is spiritual. How many know just making your flesh behave? See, even Peter said that those who suffer in the flesh have ceased from sin. He isn't talking about suffering, sickness, disease, and things like that. He's talking about it's suffering to make your flesh behave. Anybody ever tried to lose weight? Nobody? Pastor Chuck, you put on 3 or 4 ounces last Thanksgiving. Did you ever lose that? See, he doesn't know what we're talking about. He could go out, and I'll tell you why Pastor Chuck looks as good as he does, because Joanne makes him eat right. No. Because we go out and we get one of those mega burgers and we eat the whole thing. He cuts his in half. He takes half home. I've seen him do it. Sometimes. I take my half home too. I just right. In a different container. Mine's not in plastic. But how many know if you ever try to lose weight, how many know you're going to suffer? You're going to suffer. Because your flesh is going to want something. You can't let it have. And that's what Peter's talking about when he says those that suffer in the flesh have ceased from sin. He's not talking about suffering sickness and disease. That doesn't give glory to God. You read the Bible. The Bible says God got glory when they got healed. Right. Now, people will sometimes say, well, but I learned something. Well, I didn't say you couldn't learn anything. Sure, you could. But that's not God's method. God's method of teaching is by His Word and by the Holy Spirit. I've learned things through dumb decisions I've made. And so, but that wasn't God, that was me. I learned something, but it was the school of hard knocks. All right, so when he talks about suffering here, he's not talking about suffering like sometimes the church world talks about suffering. He's talking about suffering in battle, suffering in the fight.
You got to put forth some effort. Right. Amen. Amen. He says, but when you do, God will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen. Now that's what we're after. Amen. Go to Hebrews. I don't know if I can get through all this today, but we'll try here. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, and let me show you a scripture here. Even Paul himself said this in Thessalonians. He said, I would have come to you once and again, but Satan hindered us. I'm glad he didn't say Satan stopped us, but he hindered. He slowed the process down. Amen? See, he said, we would have come to you, but Satan hindered. In other words, he delayed me getting to you. I got there, but he delayed me. Had to fight through it. Had to fight through some things, and we got there, but we would have come sooner if we hadn't had this battle. This is important for Christians to know, because sometimes I think we get the idea that if we do have these struggles, we're not in faith. You could be in more faith than anybody. Amen. You could be in the middle of a fight, and so you have to know that. All right, so here in Hebrews chapter 10, go with me to verse 32, I believe it is, Hebrews 10, 32. It says, Paul's talking to this church, these Christians. He says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you received illumination. You endured a great, now I like the King James here because it says a great fight of affliction. Some say struggle, and that's fine, but I'm using the word fight this morning. You endured a great fight of afflictions after you were illuminated. What does that tell you? Well, we know what that means. The Bible says Satan cometh immediately to steal the word, right? And then if he doesn't get it immediately, then he tries to send persecution, affliction to get it. Then he'll try to get you off in cares of this world, lust of other things, deceitfulness of riches to get it. His goal is to get the word out of you because the word's your victory and his defeat. And he knows that. So he tries to get the word out of you. And so after you're illuminated, how many know he's going to try to talk you out of that illumination? A Bible school teacher said this. He said, one of his students said to him, and this Bible school student, he said, you know what? He said, I went to Christ the Healer classes and I got sick. He said, I went to the biblical prosperity classes. I went broke. He said, I went to the fasting and prayer class. I gained 10 pounds. He probably had something to do with that. But let me know, the thing of it is not avoid the classes. Take what you learn and beat the devil with it. He's out to steal it from you to keep you sick, to keep you broke, to keep you depressed. He's fighting that. So what do? You take what you learn and fight him with it. You fight the good fight of faith. And you can defeat him in areas of your life and throw him out of that area. Amen. So the key's not backing off the revelation. The key's grabbing the revelation and fighting with the revelation. Realize what's happening, see? I mean, just think about it. If you watch sports, which I do, you understand that, you know, you see, like there's going to be some football games on today, all right? A lot of times when they go into halftime, the team that's behind, they're going to make some adjustments. Isn't that right, Brother Teach? You're going to say, well, this isn't working and that isn't working. You know, now we guys that sit in our lazy boys, we already know it. We're already talking to the TV and saying, hey, man, throw the ball some. Run the ball some, you know. So, but they go in there and they make adjustments. Why? Because we need to adjust some things. Amen. So you know, when the devil comes to steal the word, when he comes with these things, he's just trying to get the word out of you. He's trying to give up on the illumination. You know, here's what I've learned, and I'm learning. I'm still learning. You know, if I've got an issue, I'll approach it maybe a certain way, and then I'll realize that isn't working. I need to adjust it. And sometimes you can pray and find out what you need to do. Sometimes I'm going to try this. I'm going to adjust this. It's not a lack of faith. It's just you got to admit it's not working. You're just not making connection, you know. You know, sometimes there's a time to pray. Sometimes there's a time to shout. Right? Sometimes there's a time to sing. Paul and Silas prayed and got out. Sometimes, the Israelites in 2 Chronicles, they praised their way to victory. Amen. You know,
So you guys, sometimes you got to do, how many know we need the Holy Spirit's help to know what way to go sometimes, you say. I've had, I was fighting something one time. I don't remember what it was, but I'd had it for a week. And I'm fighting and I'm losing weight, which was, that's not a terrible thing, but you don't want to lose it sick. But I'm losing weight and I'm fighting it. And so, it was in those days before I would accept any kind of medical help, that's just where I was with my thinking. The old Pentecostals, didn't believe in doctors and the medical, and I'm right telling the truth, they didn't believe in the medical community. It's like, believe God or die. And some of them died. A lot of them died. But God's not against that. What he wants you to do is, no matter what you do, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the fight of faith. So finally, one of our family members talked to me and said, why don't you go do this? And, go see this doctor. And so, okay, I'll give in. I finally, it's like, because I wasn't getting any better. And this doctor gave me a prescription for some pills. I took two of them and I was back to health. Didn't have to take the rest of them, two of them. Well, I don't know about you. I'm just smart enough now that I'll accept some help now. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Now, I won't unless I just have to, but I will if I have to. Amen. Because we fight things and we'll take every avenue that's available. Amen. And so, I do a little more than I used to do. But thank God, you got to understand that, like we talked about, he talked about when illumination comes, Satan comes. It's Satan that comes. But I want you to, what's he come to do? He's trying to come to get the illumination. Now, I want you to notice what he did, what it says here, too, as we finish on this. Are you getting anything today? I'm going to do some teaching here. Look at verse 33. Now, what these guys were going through, we don't hardly ever go through this. He says, but partly while you were made a gazing stock or a spectacle, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were being used that way. So in other words, you were going through persecution. You got flack, you got persecution because of your beliefs, but also because you were hooked up with those of us that were going through persecution. He said, for you had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves you have a better and an enduring substance. Notice this. This is what I want to get to here. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has a great recompense, the King James says, of reward, or produces, your faith produces a great reward. But if he tells you not to cast it away, what is that telling us? It's telling us we're going to have to hang on to it. Right? It means there's going to be a fight. If you say, hang on, what does that mean? You could turn loose. Anybody ever ski before? I remember the first time I went skiing. Never had gone before. My sister and her husband asked me, wanted to go to Patoka Lake, go skiing. I was a funny looking, I was like, I looked like Snoopy or something hanging on back here. Here we go. And they would say, hang on. I did learn there is a time to turn loose when it comes to skiing. But faith, hang on. Hold fast to our what? Our confession. Why would you have to hold fast? Because something's going to try to take it away. That's the good fight of faith, is hanging on to your confession. Hanging on to your faith. That's the good fight of faith. So we have to hang on. All right? So, and he tells us it has a great recompense of reward. Verse 36, for you have need of patience or endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Isn't that what we want? Remember what Paul said? He said, I fought a good fight. Amen. I finished my course. I kept the faith. He fought the good fight of faith. Listen now, think of it this way. I fought, I finished, I kept. I fought, I finished, I kept. Those are fighting words. That fighting language there.
I fought, I finished, I kept. You have to do that. Amen? See, you got to ask yourself. Now, let's ask yourself this question. Do I have any fight in me? Or do I give up the least adversity? This isn't an 8-second ride. Let me know what that means. Anybody watch, you know? Yeah, I like to watch bull riding. Anybody watch that? All you got to do is stay on for a mere 8 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Give me my check. That ain't hard. How many know it's a little harder than that? Because there's somebody who's fighting you. Somebody who wants you off. I watched this special one time on bull riding. In case you don't know, I have a little cowboy in me, Pilgrim. I watched this special on bull riding. We actually know a couple professional bull riders that are ministers. One's a pastor.
Retired.
Yeah, they're retired now. But yeah, we Pastor Daryl Baker. He was Pastor Daryl Baker from where's Pastor Baker from?
Ponder, Texas,
and he was a professional bull rider. So the bull wants you off. So I'm watching this special one time, and it's about the meanest bull there ever has been. He was the toughest one ever. To this day, his name is Bodacious. Bodacious. Now, Bodacious, he didn't want to just get you off. He wanted to kill you so you didn't ever get back on. And he has sent guys to the hospital. One guy had to have, I think, face, what do they call that, where they restructure your face? What do you call it? Reconstruction of his face after Bodacious stomped it. All right. They did a special. They went out to where Bodacious, where he lived at the ranch. He was on. This guy was. He raised bulls for. That's what he did. He raised rocking bulls. And he told them. He said Bodacious is gentle as can be, out here in the pasture. He said kids can walk up to him and pet him. He says, but if he sees me leave the property with that trailer that hauls the bulls, and he's not in it, he comes running to try to catch up with that. He wants to get in. He says it's a game to him. He knows the game, and he loves it. But he said he's gentle, but you put him in the bull ring, and he's going to fight you because we're in an arena of faith now. We're going to fight. And so it was just really interesting because he said, yeah, he's just a gentle guy, you know, until he gets those juices flowing. How many of the devil's never a gentle guy? He's always wanting to fight. But he picked the wrong people when he picked on us. Amen? Because we're not going to quit, right? We're going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? This is the problem with the children of Israel. Numbers 14 tells us they wanted to go back into Egypt. They didn't have any fight in them. As long as everything was going good, they were good. God's good. God's great. Thank you, Jesus, for this steak. It's all good. But the moment adversity came, then they wanted to turn around and go back. We can't be like the children of Israel. They never got into the promised land. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. But you got to be faithful. How many are faithful? Think of the word faith, full of faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Come on, you get anything this morning? Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Here's something that we got to consider too. If we're going to fight the good fight of faith, we have to consider what we have and where we're at in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6 says, talking about what God has done for us, it says, and he hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, verse 21 of chapter 1, look at that, tells us where Christ is. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So Christ is above all things, right? But we're seated with him in heavenly places. So you have to look at things from the vantage point where God has put you.
Don't look at things from the report of the world. We have to look at the report of God. You see, the higher up you get, the smaller things look down here on earth. When I was a kid, we, young and still in school, this for the week in our county, they consolidated all the towns. They consolidated all the schools, and we put us. Remember that, Pastor? They threw us all together in one school, and we hated one another for a while because we were enemies. We were enemies in sports. We just, Otwell people hated Petersburg people. And I don't know who Winslow hated, the whole world, I guess. But anyway, no, I'm teasing.
They did not like Petersburg.
They didn't like Petersburg. Petersburg wasn't liked by Otwell or Winslow. We just weren't liked because we were the big metropolis. We had some stoplights, praise God. Maybe a couple at that time, I don't know. And so everybody hated us. So when they threw us all there, we fought like cats and dogs for a while. Now, I remember I was a freshman when they put us all together, and we fought. Finally, after a little bit, we kind of, some of us, not all of us, we kind of broke in and became friends with people from the other side. But we had Petersburg was the only one that had a football team. Winslow had a basketball team, and Iowa had a basketball team, maybe baseball, I don't remember. I think Winslow had a baseball team. But Petersburg was the only one that had a football team. We had a football field. And when during football season, they would put this green canvas. We had a chain link fence that ran around the field. And they would put this green canvas on it so you couldn't watch the games for free. Like if anybody really wanted to do that. We lost about all of them. I'm thinking, but they did that anyway. So, you could tear a hole if you wanted to in that canvas and look in. But you're only seeing down this end of the field. They could be down on this end. And you think the game's over. You don't see anybody. But the thing of it is, and I've seen people do it, across the street from our stadium. That sounds big. Anyway, from our football field, there was a house, and I see people, they climb up the antenna. They had those tower antennas on the side of the porch. They get on the roof of the porch and watch the game. Because they're up high enough to see everything. See, this is where we as believers have to be. We have to look at things from our seated position in Christ, not from what the world says about what's going on. We got to look at our seated position. We may get a report from the world. It may be a bad report. We're not denying that it's not true, or it's not a fact. Let's say it that way. We're not denying it's not a fact, but we have a higher position to look from, and we can see the whole picture, and the whole picture says, yes, right now, in this point, amen. It says, I have this over here, but I see the whole picture, and over here, I'm healed. Amen. Amen. See, so I'm here getting what I'm saying. Look at Psalm. Let's close out here. Let's go here. One more scripture. We're done for today. But look at Psalm 27, I believe it is. Psalm 27. So we have to look at things from our seated position and not just look at it like everything the world says is final authority. No, they don't see the whole picture. God's Word paints the whole picture of our life. So many people take their lives, and all they're just seeing is just the right now. They're not seeing what their life could be. They don't see the final picture of what God has for them. He's got a good life for everybody. You have to come to Him, receive Him to receive it, but He has it. Look at this in Psalm 27, verse 13. David said, I would have fainted. Now, this is King James. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Notice this, not in heaven, in the land of the living. That's right here now, right? I like some different translations. The New American Standard Bible, he says, I would have despaired. But like the Amplified Bible, it says, what would have become of me if I hadn't believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? I want to ask you that question. What's going to become of you if you don't believe to see the goodness of the Lord? What's going to become of you? See, you have to fight the good fight of faith. But so many Christians give up and they don't fight it and they don't. And then the thing of it
is because they didn't fight the good fight of faith, that they didn't receive what God had for them, then God gets the blame. Preachers get up and blame it on God. Well, God, you know, he took them and he didn't do no such a thing. They didn't fight the good fight of faith. It's like a guy said one time, he said, you know, at our plant, where they were working at, we had a lot of people, different ones, die from accidents, you know. If you're a little older, you remember the days, we didn't have a whole lot of safety stuff, you know. But then they began more safety stuff. And he said, you know, and they had safety at this time. They had safety procedures that they're supposed to follow, but they didn't follow them. And he said, we had so many people die. He said, at their funerals, the pastors would get up and say, God took them. God took them. They got killed in this accident. So he said, but one thing, and this is what this guy said. I appreciate his honesty. He said, one thing I noticed, when we finally started following the safety procedures, God stopped taking as many. Isn't that funny? Once we used some common sense, God quit taking them. How many of God didn't take them to start with? You just weren't being smart. See? And so a lot of people, and Christians, I'm just saying this because a lot of Christians, when they don't receive, they don't, and God gets to blame for them, it's most likely because they didn't fight the good fight of faith. They didn't keep fighting. They gave up. If David said, I'd have fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, the word wait there doesn't mean like just a time frame. Like, you know, I'm waiting on my wife. We're supposed to leave at 10. It's 5 after. I mean, that's not what it's talking about. It means wait in faith, or to look to in faith, is really what it means. Look to in faith, look to the Lord in faith, and he's going to strengthen your heart. Amen. And you be of good courage. Amen. Hallelujah. So I hope you got something out of that. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We can't just sit back and just, you know, leave it all in God's hands. Thank God. Absolutely. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. We can't do any of that. Without him, we're in trouble. But the ball's kind of in our court right now. And we would know that when we talk about just salvation, people getting saved, you know, from their sins and from hell, we know that if they just say, well, I'm just leaving it up to God, how many know they're going to end up in hell? Yeah. Right? Because they got to do something. Right. They got to believe with their heart. They got to confess with their mouth. Yeah. Right. You see, people say, well, I'm just waiting for God to save me. Well, wait a minute. God already has done something to save you. He's just waiting for you to receive it. Right. Same thing's true with everything. God's already provided. We just got to receive it. And sometimes we have to fight the fight of faith. Yeah. And we have to stay with it until we see the victory manifest, which it will. It will. I think back to my pastor friend and the acquaintance that I have and his fight. And, you know, he had to fight multiple skirmishes. Well, I'm glad he did. He's a great preacher of the word. He's a great word of faith, old school word of faith guy. I just love his ministry, love his preaching and teaching. I'm glad he's still on the planet. Amen. I'm sure his church is glad. His wife's glad. His kids are glad. His grandkids are glad. And I know God's glad about it. Amen. He'll go to heaven someday like we all will. But until we finish our course, we need to be down here to help people. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.